Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 193 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we'll be continuing our series on Exodus chapter 18. This is going to be part 4. We have so far treated Exodus 18 verses 1 to 20. And the last time we met, we discussed the importance of focusing one's life. We talked about how Moses was taking on too much that was not meant for him. We talked about how it's very important as a child of God to spend your life in what God has said you should do, right? And that the fact that something sounds logical, something sounds like something you should be doing, doesn't necessarily mean that it's the thing you're supposed to do. One corollary I will actually say to that, or one extension of that point before we continue, is, again, you just need to be careful of the roles that you're filling. Again, kind of centered around the same theme of focusing your life. Some people are fulfilling roles that they are not supposed to fulfill. Like, for example, we know about King Saul in the Bible. His job was to be a king, not a priest. But for instead of him to focus on his kingship, he focused on becoming like a priest, offering sacrifices that he was not supposed to offer. It seemed like the logical thing to do, but it was not his place. So again, be very careful about focusing your life. I'm telling you this, multitasking is not a prudent life skill. It's not something that is in line with scripture. If you're called to be something, then God wants you to be focused on that thing. Again, I believe I've said this, that Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press on this one thing. Not two things, this one thing. If you read the Bible, that's literally what he said. This one thing. And again, I've given the illustration, which is given in the Bible, of the narrow path that leads to life, the narrow way that leads to life. That narrow way is a way that requires intense focus and concentration. In fact, there is a part of the Bible, I think it's either in the book of Psalms or the book of Proverbs, that says, keep your eyes fixed straight in front of you. Keep your foot from evil. Don't keep stepping into things that are not for you. Don't be multitasking with your destiny. Focus solely on what God has called you to do. Now, we're going to continue our discussion from verse 21 of Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Or maybe let me start from verse 20, although we treated verse 20 last time. So he says, teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. Again, Jethro was pretty much spelling out what should be Moses' job. Now, verse 21. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Who fear God and hate bribes. I put them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you'll be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. All these people will go home in peace. Okay. Now, verse 24 says, Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. He chose capable men from all over Israel and appointed them as leaders over the people. He put them in charge of groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. These men were always available to solve the people's common disputes. They brought the major cases to Moses, but they took care of the smaller matters themselves. Verse 27. Soon after this, Moses said goodbye to his father-in-law, who returned to his own land. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So again, quite a bit to unpack here, but what are the lessons from this part of scripture? The lessons from this part of scripture, really lessons in leadership. Lessons in leadership. The first one, if you notice, is Jethro basically gave, if you read verse 21, Jethro basically gave Moses instructions for the kinds of people that should be leaders, the kinds of people that he should put under him to run some of the affairs amongst the Israelites. He said, select from the people. Select from all the people. So that means, honestly, it's not everyone that should be selected for a leadership situation. It's not everyone. That's the first lesson I want to learn. It's not everyone that should be selected for a leadership situation. There were many people that were available, but there were some that had to be selected. That's very important. That's very important. That's very important. Again, in appointing leaders, you have to be selective. Because again, the wrong leader can lead many people astray. The wrong leader can lead people in the wrong direction. Now, the second thing here is that Jethro said that Moses should select people that were capable. What is the word? Capable. 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 When you're selecting people for a position, make sure that it's a position that they have capacity for. I'm going to say that again. When you're selecting people for a position, make sure that it's a position that they have capacity for. There are many times that people are placed in situations that are not their capacities. That's the truth. It's like, for example, trying to ask someone like myself to go out and lead a choir or go out and start singing in an audience or whatever. Don't get me wrong. Can God instruct me divine to go and sing in a choir or something? Yes, God can definitely do that. But, and obviously if God gives me that kind of instruction that, see divine, I want you to go to this place, I want you to go to so-so-so and so place, pick up a microphone, or on this so-so-so and so occasion, pick up a microphone and sing unto me. Then yes, ultimately God's will should be what I follow. If that's the situation, then yes, obviously I should go and sing. But looking at my life, I know that by the grace of God, my gift in the body of Christ is teaching. That is what God has imputed unto me. That is the capacity that the Lord has given to me. Right? So in situations of teaching, by the grace of God, I have that capacity. And that capacity is not from me. That capacity is from God. It is God that literally gave me that capacity. There are many people that, again, like I've said, are put in situations, are put in positions that they don't have the capacity for. The fact that a person has certain virtues, or, oh, wow, this person is this, as that, is this, is that, is this, is that, does not necessarily mean that they have the capacity for that thing. So that's why, again, it really takes the discernment of God when you're appointing leaders to pick people with the right capacity for the job at hand. To pick people with the right capacity for the job at hand. Now, here's one thing I want to comment on in relation to capacity. Some people denigrate the capacities that they have. The thing is, the Bible describes us as a treasure in earthen vessels. Your body is an earthen vessel. Within that earthen vessel, there is treasure. That treasure represents a form of capacity. Many people believe that they are damaged goods. Many people believe that, wow, I'm not able to achieve XYZ. In fact, when God was calling Moses initially, Moses kept giving one excuse after the other of how he did not have the capacity to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the fact that you may look a certain way does not mean that you lack capacity for something. That's why, again, it's very important to be led by God, right? The fact that you look a certain way does not mean that you lack capacity. In fact, there are many times in scripture where certain people in the eyes of man, they didn't seem to have one capacity or the other, but actually God made them perfectly suitable for accomplishing certain tasks. Like Gideon. Gideon kept referring himself to like the least of the least. But God was like, no, Gideon, you're the one that is supposed to lead these people. Look at Apostle Peter. Peter was a fisherman. No one will ever have pegged him as someone that will preach messages and thousands of people will give their lives to Christ. But he had that capacity on the inside of him. So the one thing I will bring from this is that your looks should not determine your capacity. It is what is on the inside that should determine your capacity. The Bible says when God was speaking to Samuel as he went to see Jesse to say, okay, let me pick out one of your sons and anoint them. God told Samuel, do not look at the outward appearance, but take a look. Because he said, you know, don't be deceived by the outward appearance, right? Because the Bible says that God does not look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So the thing is, your capacity may not be shown by what people see on you. Your capacity may not be shown by what people see on you. The fact that you may not have a certain physique does not necessarily mean that you cannot be used by God for certain things. So again, capacity is not a function of the outside. Capacity is a function of the inside. There was a person that became the king of Israel at the age of 8. I believe that was Josiah. He was 8 years old. So on the outside, in the logical eyes of man, he did not seem to have the capacity. But on the inside, he was perfectly suited to become king. So this is very, very, very important. Outward looks do not determine capacity. Is a person's heart, is what is on the inside of a person, that thing that it may not be seen, that determines a person's capacity. If you look at your life, you probably recognize certain situations of life where you have achieved some big things. And looking at yourself, you're even shocked that, wait, how did I achieve this thing? No, it's because God has placed the capacity inside of you to achieve those things, So I'm looking at this from two perspectives. The first perspective we started off with is making sure that when you're picking people for something, pick them for something for which they have the capacity for, according to the will of God. But looking at it from the other perspective, don't underestimate the capacity that the Lord has deposited in you. That capacity is treasure. Don't denigrate it. Don't underestimate it. Because I'm telling you this, there are many people that are languishing when God has actually called them to do some great and mighty things in His kingdom. They have the capacity for those things, but they look down on themselves. They just look at who they are. They look at their past. They look at their background. They look at their physique. They look at their outward appearance. And then they say, no, there's no way I can accomplish this thing. No. Because literally, Samuel wanted to anoint one of Jesse's sons based on looks. Ooh, the one that looked big, the one that was in the army, the one that was this, the one that was that. But thank God he did not make that mistake. Thank God that he listened to the voice of God. God told him, I do not look at outward appearances. I look at the heart. David may have been the, because if you even think about it, Samuel had to remind Jesse that, see, are these all the sons that you have? And then Jesse was like, oh, yes, we have one child that's in the bush. They had to call forth David. David may not have looked. Even, I'm telling you this, even when Goliath, what did he refer to David as? He insulted him. He cursed him in the name of his gods. He was saying, basically I'm paraphrasing, but who are you, you little boy? You are coming to fight me, a giant. But the fact that David did not look like a giant killer. So David may have looked small on the outside, but on the inside, he had the capacity of a giant killer. And guess what? That capacity showed forth in the end. So again, I will encourage you to be very careful, because I'm telling you this. Don't write off a person based on their outward appearance. That person that you may not look at as anything, on the inside, they may actually have extremely great capacity. Because really, if you look at the life of David, it's a life of many people just writing him off. His brothers wrote him off. His father wrote him off. Goliath wrote him off. Saul wrote him off. But guess what? If you look at each of these people that wrote him off, in the end, they saw that, wait, man, how can this little boy be the one accomplishing these great things? So again, just be very, very careful. Be very, very, very careful. Be very, very, very cautious. Outward appearance does not determine capacity. It is what is on the inside. The fact that you may look like an earthen vessel on the outside, which you are, does not mean that there is no treasure on the inside of you. That's why I love this portion of scripture that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the one that determines your capacity. It's not your outward appearance that determines your capacity. That's why the Bible says again, Christ in you, you can look this up, do a Google search on this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is not you that is doing stuff. It is the capacity of Christ in you that is doing those things. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. You can do all things. Things that may seem beyond your capacity, it doesn't mean that you can, things that may seem beyond your ability, it doesn't mean you don't have the capacity for it. When you have Christ on the inside of you, you have great, amazing, abundant capacity. There are so many things that you can get done. Okay? There are so many things that you can get done. There are so many things that you can get done. So again, I believe that this series is going to continue then on to series. I believe this is, we're going to go to series 5. But let me go ahead and stop here. But again, just I want to summarize this, right? The points that I've made today, because these points are very important, right? One was select. We basically talked about two things. One was select and two was capacity. We said that again, leadership positions are not necessarily for everybody, right? Again, for the fact that many people are available for a position does not mean that all of them can do that thing. No, you need to be selective. And again, we said in selection, right? Going to the second point, you have to pick people that, again, that's why you need the discernment of God. You need the discernment of God. You need to pick people with the right capacity, the right capability for the work that is at hand. Right. And again, I said that capability is not determined by outward appearance. Capability is determined by what is on the inside. And again, this Bible verse, as I've mentioned multiple times, really encapsulates this point very well. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as I wrap this up, I want to ask you today, who is in you? Who is in you? Who is in you? Because again, the thing is, you can either be serving God, or you can be serving the devil. Who is in you? Is it Christ that is in you? Because the thing that is in you, the person that is in you, determines who you will become, determines what your destiny will be. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You want glory to be your end, then Christ has to be in you. We also read that verse, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So the question I want to ask you then is this. Do you have Christ in your life? Is Christ the one that is dwelling in you? For Christ to dwell in you, you need to have accepted him as your Lord and your Savior. So if you've not made that decision today, I want you to commit your life to Christ. I want to encourage you to commit your life to Christ. Because I'm telling you this, Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what your background may have looked like. It doesn't matter what your past may have looked like. It doesn't matter what your life may look like right now. But God is calling you to himself. He wants to reconcile you back to himself. Even if you've made mistakes in the past, Christ is calling you back. Paul made a lot of mistakes in his past. But when Christ called out to him, he answered that call. And his life never remained the same after that. Paul's story ended in glory because Christ came into his life. So if you want Christ to come into your life today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess all my sins. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. I believe you died on the cross to save me from sin. Cleanse me with your blood. Come into my life. Come and dwell in me. Be my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And Father, I pray for those that have just given their lives to you. I pray that you will strengthen them to do your will. I pray that you will give them the grace not to go back into the world. And I pray for those of us that are listening to this podcast, including myself. Open our eyes, O God, to see what you have placed on the inside of us, to see what our capacity looks like. Give us the grace, Lord, not to denigrate ourselves, not to look at our outward appearance, but to know that Christ in us is our hope of glory. And I pray, Lord, that in our lives, in our families, in every affair of our lives. Let your will be done. Give us, Lord, that spirit of discernment to be able to make the right choice, not based on outward appearance, but based on what is truth, based on what is your will, to the glory, honor, and praise of your name. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. For those that have said the prayer of salvation, I will encourage you. Congratulations, you're a child of God. There are three things you need to do. Number one, you need to listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. 96 to 101. It is titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so that you can grow in your walk with God. Number two, find a Bible in a translation that you understand. Many people understand the New Living Translation. Read it every single day. Meditate on what you have read. Write down an action plan, action steps you can take. I'm telling you this, as you read the word, as you meditate on the word, as you obey the word, you will see your life right before your eyes begin to get transformed. It is in obeying that word that transformation of life happens. You don't want to remain the same way that you have been since you said this prayer of salvation. You want over time to become more and more like Christ. To become more and more like Christ, you have to obey his word. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, and they preach things that are completely inconsistent with the word of God. They try to depart from scripture. They try to modify scripture so that they can appeal to the world that surrounds them. That is not the kind of place you want to be. You want to go to a place that preaches the true, pure, unadulterated word of God. And when you go to a church, when you hear the word of God, go back and check in scripture. These things they just said, does it tally? Does it line up with what was mentioned in scripture? So again, don't just find a church. The fact that a place has Church of God on it doesn't mean that God is there. Does not mean that God is there. Go to a place where you can hear the true, pure, undiluted word of God. And again, if you pray for it, God will actually guide you. He will lead you in the right direction. If he sees that you truly desire to serve him and do his will, he will guide you. You need to have faith and trust that he will guide you in the right direction. So thank you for listening to me today. By God's grace, we'll pick up with series 5 of this, within the next 2 days. And the Lord will help us as we continue marching through his word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Until next time, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Shalom.